Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to the Moment of Deliverance. Glory to God. This is your host and founder, Apostle Dr. Myrtle Johnson. Glory to God. Coming to you by way of Anchor Podcast on tonight. Thank you for joining in, whether you are at home with your feet propped up, whether you're driving down the road in your vehicle, whether you're in your office and you're just going back and you are listening to the play button even after the recording has been recorded. Glory to God. I am just so super excited that you chose to stop by to hear a word from the Lord on tonight, or whether it's day when you will hear it. Glory to God. It is a right now word in season. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk to you a little bit on tonight about submitting yourself therefore unto God. Submitting yourself therefore unto God. A lot of times we wonder why the attacks may come. Sometimes we wonder why we may be going through this or why we may be going through that. It could very well mean that there may be an area in our life that is not completely submitted or surrendered unto God. In the book of James, chapter number 4, I'm going to read for your hearing, beginning at verse number 7 through 10. The Bible says, "So submit to the authority of God. Resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Come close to God with a contrite heart, and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, ye sinners, and purify your unfaithful hearts, you double-minded people. Be miserable and grieve and weep over your sin. Let your foolish laughter be turned to mourning and your reckless joy to gloom. Humble yourselves with an attitude of repentance and insignificance in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will give you purpose." One of the main things to living a victorious life is to submit ourselves unto God and resist Satan, who is the enemy, so that he will flee from you. Although people don't usually enjoy hearing or learning about Satan, we do have an enemy. He is constantly on the prowl, looking for opportunities to steal, to kill, and to destroy, according to John 10 and 10. According to James 4 and 7, we are expected to resist him. I can't tell you how many years I heard only the second half of that scripture quoted, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." I had never really paid any attention to the first half of that verse, which says we are to submit ourselves to God. We cannot overcome the enemy successfully if we do not submit to God, because the power to resist the devil is found in submitting to God. If you want to gain victory over the enemy, it's necessary to walk in obedience to God and in submission to his word. When we take a look at that scripture even a little bit more closely, I want to define for you on tonight exactly what does the word submit mean. Submit means to relinquish your rights to. Submit means to relinquish your will to. So when the Bible tells us to submit ourselves unto God, that is the authority and the lordship of who Jesus Christ is in our lives. Whether it is in your finances, have you submitted your finances unto God? Are you paying your tithes and your offerings unto the Lord? If you are not, then that very well could be why your checking account is a reflection of your submittance unto the Lord. Are you submitting your health unto God? Are you eating properly? Are you properly taking care of yourselves the way that you really need to? Or are you allowing the enemy to tell you to eat this or to eat that when you know that it is harmful to your health? When the Bible says to submit ourselves therefore unto God, go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says regarding a situation. Have you submitted your family unto the Lord? Have you given him the right to reign and rule in your homes? Have you given that right over to the Lord and taken it back from Satan? I encourage somebody on tonight that may be listening that you begin to submit yourself, therefore, unto God and resist Satan. When Satan present things before you that may look tempting, they may look like it's promising, it may look like it's the ways of God, but if it is contrary to God and that is still a place of struggle in your life, it very well could mean that it is a place that has not yet been surrendered unto the Lord. The Lord showed me years ago, as oftentimes being in deliverance ministry, working with helping hurting women heal and become whole, glory to God, I oftentimes find that the greatest area of attack in people's lives oftentimes could be because that is an area where you have not surrendered completely unto God. If it's that your flesh is not disciplined, it could be because you have not yet surrendered that area of your life unto the Lord. I encourage you on tonight, not just to submit, give away the rights to, but then resist Satan so that he can flee. Stay away from the peer pressure. Stay away from those things that tempt you and lead you away from God. Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. Keep yourself filled up with the Word of God. The Word of God is going to be what is going to empower you to be able to stand against the wiles of the wicked one. Satan is consistently roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Don't let you be that one that he devour because we have not surrendered a certain area of our life unto the Lord. Right here in this particular passage of scripture, it says, come close to God with a contrite heart, and he will come close to you. When you seek the Lord in the midst of situations that you're dealing with, when you seek the Lord in the midst of circumstances that you are facing, when you come close to him, he will come close to you, glory to God, with a contrite heart, because now your heart is positioned properly of a place of surrender unto him. That gives him the right to move and rule in your situations. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your unfaithful hearts. We must be loyal unto God. When we say submit ourselves unto God, that is that even that place or that moment of making a decision. God, I've tried things my way. Now I'm going to try things your way. What I was doing, it wasn't working. The choices that I was making wasn't causing a change to come forth in my life. Glory to God. So now I'm God, I'm going to try it your way. I'm going to do it how you want to do it. It says, and we cannot be double-minded. Double-minded means one minute we say we're going to submit and we're going to surrender, but the very next moment we still continue in doing the same things that we've always been doing. We're still putting ourselves in a place for the enemy to attack us over and over and over again. So when you are submitting yourself, therefore, unto God, you've got to have your mind made up. You got to have your heart in the right place. And then you got to have faith to believe that God is going to help you to get through whatever it may be. The Bible says in verse 9, be miserable and grieve and weep over your sin. Let your foolish laughter be turned to mourning and your reckless joy to gloom. Humble yourself with an attitude of repentance and insignificance. Right there, even when we may haven't done everything always right, we may haven't always crossed every T and dotted every I, we thank God for the power of repentance. We can go to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Oftentimes, it's not that God isn't doing what he's supposed to do, but we don't do our part. We continue to hold on to whatever it may be that was not submitted unto God. When we ask God to forgive us, he then encourages us and wants us to move forward and sin no more, glory to God. Part of submission is, God, I'm going to do it your way now. Hallelujah. It says we have to humble ourselves. We have to have the right attitude about that situation, knowing that God is the only one that can turn that situation around. What is your attitude on tonight regarding your life? What is your attitude on tonight regarding those challenges that you face? What is your attitude on tonight about those obstacles that are before you that you just cannot hurdle over? Is it that I don't have any finances because I'm not a good steward? Is it that my health is shaky because I'm a gorder or an overeater? Is it that I'm not getting where I need to be, even when it comes to ministry, because I'm not surrendering myself completely to the Lord? I'm not submitting myself unto Him, but I'm still living a double standard life. What is it? Is it that we haven't submitted that place in our life unto God? I encourage every listener out there on tonight to take a self-inventory and find. Don't look at anybody else. Don't point any fingers, but ask yourself that question and then be honest. Have I surrendered this place in my life to God? Have I surrendered it completely over to Him? Have I taken my hands off it, and have I stepped out of the way, or am I still orchestrating my own fate? I want to encourage everybody, don't try to orchestrate your own fate. When you try to orchestrate your own fate, it only ends in total disaster. Glory to God. And then once you ask yourself that question, begin to resist Satan. And I promise you, he's going to flee from you. When you're no longer responding to him, when you're no longer giving in to his tactics and whimsicals, when you are no longer letting him have free course in your life to reign and rule, the Bible says that he will flee from you because you've taken away the legal right from him to operate and rule in your life. I want to encourage you today. Stand your ground as a believer, knowing that Jesus Christ loved you and he paid the ultimate price for your life. Do not allow the enemy to keep you in a place of stagnancy or bound because you have not yet submitted yourself, therefore, unto God. Hallelujah. I pray that this teaching has blessed you on tonight. I pray that it will cause you to take an inventory and just allow the Lord to speak to you. Allow the Lord to give you instructions on your life. Have you completely surrendered it all unto Him? Are you living in a place of submission unto His word? Is His word the supreme ruler in your life? Is His word what you're governing yourself according to? Is His word the guideline that you go to in order to see why it could possibly be that the enemy is tormenting you in that place? When there's areas of your life that are not completely surrendered to God, the enemy has a right to torment you in that place. He has a right to reign and rule in that place. But on tonight, I'm encouraging you to take back your authority from the enemy. Surrender yourself unto the Lord. Resist Satan and watch him flee from you. Glory to God. Even as I'm doing this teaching on tonight, I feel by the power of the Holy Spirit that somebody out there has been asking God, what is it, God, that I'm not completely doing that the enemy keeps messing with me right here? God is saying on tonight, I want a greater level a surrenderance from you. Glory to God. If you're already surrendered in that place, then surrender on the next level unto God. Submit yourself unto God even in a greater capacity. Somebody out there that's listening needs to reconsecrate themselves unto the Lord. Glory to God. God is calling to rededicate yourself on tonight. Rededicate every area of your life that has been in disobedience unto God on tonight. Let him do the breaking. Let him do the shifting. Let him do the transitioning. I feel by the power of the Holy Spirit that even as this teaching is going forward on tonight, that God is shifting things in your life. He's calling for divine alignment with him. Glory to God. That's when everything concerning you come into alignment. What that simply means is that now you're coming into agreement with God. Part of submitting yourself, therefore, unto God is the act of coming into agreement with what God says in accordance to his word. Are you agreeing with God in every area of your life? Are you saying, Lord, I give you permission to take the wheel and drive. I give you permission to be the author and the finisher and the orchestrator of my faith. Glory to God. If this message has blessed you, I encourage you, hashtag and share hallelujah so that others can get delivered as well. Hallelujah. This is the moment of deliverance. Glory to God. Your host and founder is yours truly, Apostle Dr. Myrtle Johnson, the overseer and founder of Free in Christ International Women's Fellowship, where I submit myself to the authority of my apostle, Keith Johnson. Glory to God. We co-labor in the vineyard together over Kingdom Advance Network of Apostolic Council, as well as Grace and Mercy Outreach Ministries that is located at 6701 Cole Harbor Road in Mechanicsville, Virginia. We're at worship service times. It's every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. Free in Christ International Women's Fellowship is a ministry, glory to God, that is on the move to help hurting women heal and become whole. However, this moment of intercession is not just for women. It is for women and men, glory to God. So share the word, get it out there so that the people of God can become whole. Once again, I want to encourage you to therefore submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Glory be to God. Join me on Tuesdays and Thursdays right here on Anchor Podcast. Until next week, do be blessed. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to the moment of deliverance. Glory to God. This is your host and founder, Apostle Dr. Myrtle Johnson. Glory to God. Coming to you by way of Anchor Podcast on tonight. Thank you for joining in, whether you are at home with your feet propped up, whether you're driving down the road in your vehicle, whether you're in your office and you're just going back and you are listening to the play button even after the recording has been recorded. Glory to God. I am just so super excited that you chose to stop by to hear a word from the Lord on tonight, or whether it's day when you will hear it. Glory to God. It is a right now word in season. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk to you a little bit on tonight about submitting yourself, therefore, unto God. Submitting yourself, therefore, unto God. A lot of times we wonder why the attacks may come. Sometimes we wonder why we may be going through this or why we may be going through that. It could very well mean that there may be an area in our life that is not completely submitted or surrendered unto God. In the book of James, chapter number 4, I'm going to read for your hearing, beginning at verse number 7 through 10. The Bible says, "So submit to the authority of God. Resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Come close to God with a contrite heart, and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, ye sinners, and purify your unfaithful hearts, you double-minded people. Be miserable and grieve and weep over your sin. Let your foolish laughter be turned to mourning and your reckless joy to gloom. Humble yourselves with an attitude of repentance and insignificance in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will give you purpose. One of the main things to living a victorious life is to submit ourselves unto God and resist Satan, who is the enemy, so that he will flee from you. Although people don't usually enjoy hearing or learning about Satan, we do have an enemy. He is constantly on the prowl, looking for opportunities to steal, to kill, and to destroy, according to John 10:10. According to James 4:7, we are expected to resist him. I can't tell you how many years I heard only the second half of that scripture quoted, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." I had never really paid any attention to the first half of that verse, which says we are to submit ourselves to God. We cannot overcome the enemy successfully if we do not submit to God, because the power to resist the devil is found in submitting to God. If you want to gain victory over the enemy, it's necessary to walk in obedience to God and in submission to His word. When we take a look at that scripture even a little bit more closely, I want to define for you on tonight exactly what does the word submit mean. Submit means to relinquish your rights to. Submit means to relinquish your will to. So when the Bible tells us to submit ourselves unto God, that is the authority and the lordship of who Jesus Christ is in our lives. Whether it is in your finances, have you submitted your finances unto God? Are you paying your tithes and your offerings unto the Lord? If you are not, then that very well could be why your checking account is a reflection of your submittance unto the Lord. Are you submitting your health unto God? Are you eating properly? Are you properly taking care of yourselves the way that you really need to? Or are you allowing the enemy to tell you to eat this or to eat that when you know that it is harmful to your health? When the Bible says to submit ourselves therefore unto God, go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says regarding a situation. Have you submitted your family unto the Lord? Have you given Him the right to reign and rule in your homes? Have you given that right over to the Lord and taken it back from Satan? I encourage somebody on tonight that may be listening that you begin to submit yourself therefore unto God and resist Satan. When Satan present things before you that may look tempting, they may look like it's promising, it may look like it's the ways of God, but if it is contrary to God and that is still a place of struggle in your life, it very well could mean that it is a place that has not yet been surrendered unto the Lord. The Lord showed me years ago, as oftentimes being in deliverance ministry, working with helping hurting women heal and become whole, glory to God, I oftentimes find that the greatest area of attack in people's lives oftentimes could be because that is an area where you have not surrendered completely unto God. If it's that your flesh is not disciplined, it could be because you have not yet surrendered that area of your life unto the Lord. I encourage you on tonight, not just to submit, give away the rights to, but then resist Satan so that he can flee. Stay away from the peer pressure. Stay away from those things that tempt you and lead you away from God. Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. Keep yourself fueled up with the Word of God. The Word of God is going to be what is going to empower you to be able to stand against the wiles of the wicked one. Satan is consistently roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Don't let you be that one that he devour, because we have not surrendered a certain area of our life unto the Lord. Right here in this particular passage of scripture, it says, "Come close to God with a contrite heart and he will come close to you. When you seek the Lord in the midst of situations that you're dealing with, when you seek the Lord in the midst of circumstances that you are facing, when you come close to him, he will come close to you, glory to God, with a contrite heart, because now your heart is positioned properly of a place of surrender unto him. That gives him the right to move and rule in your situations. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your unfaithful hearts. We must be loyal unto God. When we say submit ourselves unto God, that is that even that place or that moment of making a decision. God, I've tried things my way. Now I'm going to try things your way. What I was doing, it wasn't working. The choices that I was making wasn't causing a change to come forth in my life. Glory to God. So now I'm God, I'm going to try it your way. I'm going to do it how you want to do it. It says, and we cannot be double-minded. Double-minded means one minute we say we're going to submit and we're going to surrender, but the very next moment we still continue in doing the same things that we've always been doing. We're still putting ourselves in a place for the enemy to attack us over and over and over again. So when you are submitting yourself, therefore, unto God, you've got to have your mind made up. You got to have your heart in the right place. And then you got to have faith to believe that God is going to help you to get through whatever it may be. The Bible says in verse 9, be miserable and grieve and weep over your sin. Let your foolish laughter be turned to mourning and your reckless joy to gloom. Humble yourself with an attitude of repentance and insignificance. Right there, even when we may haven't done everything always right, we may haven't always crossed every T and dotted every I, we thank God for the power of repentance. We can go to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Oftentimes, it's not that God isn't doing what he's supposed to do, but we don't do our part. We continue to hold on to whatever it may be that was not submitted unto God. When we ask God to forgive us, he then encourages us and wants us to move forward and sin no more, glory to God. Part of submission is, God, I'm going to do it your way now, hallelujah. It says we have to humble ourselves. We have to have the right attitude about that situation, knowing that God is the only one that can turn that situation around. What is your attitude on tonight regarding your life? What is your attitude on tonight regarding those challenges that you face? What is your attitude on tonight about those obstacles that are before you that you just cannot hurdle over? Is it that I don't have any finances because I'm not a good steward? Is it that my health is shaky because I'm a gorder or an overeater? Is it that I'm not getting where I need to be even when it comes to ministry because I'm not surrendering myself completely to the Lord? I'm not submitting myself unto him, but I'm still living a double standard life. What is it? Is it that we haven't submitted that place in our life unto God? I encourage every listener out there on tonight to take a self-inventory and find. Don't look at anybody else. Don't point any fingers, but ask yourself that question and then be honest. Have I surrendered this place in my life to God? Have I surrendered it completely over to him? Have I taken my hands off it, and have I stepped out of the way, or am I still orchestrating my own fate? I want to encourage everybody, don't try to orchestrate your own fate. When you try to orchestrate your own fate, it only ends in total disaster. Glory to God. And then once you ask yourself that question, begin to resist Satan. And I promise you, he's going to flee from you. When you're no longer responding to him, when you're no longer giving in to his tactics and whimsicals, when you are no longer letting him have free course in your life to reign and rule, The Bible says that he will flee from you because you've taken away the legal right for him, from him to operate and rule in your life. I want to encourage you today. Stand your ground as a believer, knowing that Jesus Christ loved you and he paid the ultimate price for your life. Do not allow the enemy to keep you in a place of stagnancy or bound because you have not yet submitted yourself, therefore, unto God. Hallelujah. I pray that this teaching has blessed you on tonight. I pray that it will cause you to take an inventory and just allow the Lord to speak to you. Allow the Lord to give you instructions on your life. Have you completely surrendered it all unto him? Are you living in a place of submission unto his word? Is his word the supreme ruler in your life? Is his word what you're governing yourself according to? Is his word the guideline that you go to in order to see why it could possibly be that the enemy is tormenting you in that place? When there's areas of your life that are not completely surrendered to God, the enemy has a right to torment you in that place. He has a right to reign and rule in that place. But on tonight, I'm encouraging you to take back your authority from the enemy. Surrender yourself unto the Lord. Resist Satan and watch him flee from you. Glory to God. Even as I'm doing this teaching on tonight, I feel by the power of the Holy Spirit that somebody out there has been asking God, what is it, God, that I'm not completely doing that the enemy keeps messing with me right here? God is saying on tonight, I want a greater level of surrenderance from you. Glory to God. If you're already surrendered in that place, then surrender on the next level unto God. Submit yourself unto God even in a greater capacity. Somebody out there that's listening needs to reconsummate themselves, reconsecrate themselves unto the Lord. Glory to God. God is calling to rededicate yourself on tonight. Rededicate every area of your life that has been in disobedience unto God on tonight. Let him do the breaking. Let him do the shifting. Let him do the transitioning. I feel by the power of the Holy Spirit that even as this teaching is going forward on tonight, that God is shifting things in your life. He's calling for divine alignment with him. Glory to God. That's when everything concerning you come into alignment. What that simply means is that now you're coming into agreement with God. Part of submitting yourself, therefore, unto God is the act of coming into agreement with what God says in accordance to his word. Are you agreeing with God in every area of your life? Are you saying, Lord, I give you permission to take the wheel and drive. I give you permission to be the author and the finisher and the orchestrator of my faith. Glory to God. If this message has blessed you, I encourage you, hashtag and share hallelujah so that others can get delivered as well. Hallelujah. This is the moment of deliverance. Glory to God. Your host and founder is yours truly, Apostle Dr. Myrtle Johnson, the overseer and founder of Free in Christ International Women's Fellowship, where I submit myself to the authority of my apostle, Keith Johnson. Glory to God. We co-labor in the vineyard together over Kingdom Advance Network of Apostolic Council, as well as Grace and Mercy Outreach Ministries that is located at 6701 Cole Harbor Road in Mechanicsville, Virginia. We're at worship service times. It's every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. Free in Christ International Women's Fellowship is a ministry, glory to God, that is on the move to help hurting women heal and become whole. However, This moment of intercession is not just for women. It is for women and men, glory to God. So share the word, get it out there so that the people of God can become whole. Once again, I want to encourage you to therefore submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Glory be to God. Join me on Tuesdays and Thursdays right here on Anchor Podcast. Until next week, do be blessed. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to the moment of deliverance. Glory to God. This is your host and founder, Apostle Dr. Myrtle Johnson, coming to you by way of Anchor Podcast. Glory to God. Thank you for joining in on tonight, whether you are driving down the road in your vehicle, whether you are at home with your feet propped up, or whether you may be listening to this recording at another time. Thank you for joining in. I am the overseer and founder of Free in Christ International Women's Fellowship, a fellowship that is geared towards helping hurting women heal and become whole. Our overseer and founder is Apostle Keith Johnson. We are also the overseers of Grace and Mercy Outreach Ministries that is located at 6701 Cole Harbor Road in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Join us on any Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. for a power-filled moment of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. I want to talk to you on tonight about being sure of your calling. Be sure of your calling. What does Peter mean when he tells us to make our calling and election sure in the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 10? It says, "Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." The clear command here is to make your calling and your election sure. Or as the Bible puts it, make every effort to confirm your calling and your election. Now, a believer's calling is God's drawing him to salvation. Peter alludes to this calling earlier in the same chapter when he speaks of God who called us by his glory and his goodness in 2 Peter 1 and 3. A believer's election is God's selection of him to be saved from before time began. The doctrine of election or predestination is taught elsewhere in the Bible also. In the book of Romans chapter number 8, verse 29 and 30, in Ephesians 1 and 5, in verse number 11, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 4, and 2 Timothy 2 and 10. God is the only one who calls and who elects us. So the believer's calling and election are already sure from God's point of view. Therefore, the command for believers to diligently make their calling and election sure must refer to the believer's point of view. God wants us to have assurance of our salvation, first of all, and the best way to do that is to be pursuing godly virtues and actively growing in the Christian life. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7 lists godly qualities that believers should add to their faith: goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. These qualities are the things that the verse number 10 is talking about. And the reader is urged thereby to make your calling and your election sure. In doing these things, one will never stumble, and it is promised a rich welcome
into the eternal kingdom of God. In verse number 11. On the surface, 2 Peter 1 seems to affirm that one's salvation depending on having the qualities that are listed in verse number 5 through 7. On closer inspection, however, it becomes apparent that Peter is addressing those who already have faith, which he lists as the first and foundational quality. Also, Peter presumes that some of those who did not demonstrate these qualities had in fact been saved, for whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins, 2 Peter 1 and 9. So being cleansed from past sin does not automatically mean that a person will grow in goodness, knowledge, but if he doesn't possess these qualities in increasing measure, he's spiritually myopic and forgetful of God's grace. Let's examine the command to make your calling and election sure within the context of what Peter said before that. Verse 1 and 3 says, the reader's godly life is somehow being threatened by their circumstances, and we know from Peter's previous epistle that they have been suffering. 1 Peter 1 and 6. The apostle is therefore providing reassurance that they all have resources they need to preserve within their knowledge of God, the one who called them. Verse 4, Peter adds that God's glory and goodness entail very great and precious promises through which his readers may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. God's goal is to produce a holy people for himself. Believers should have the same goal, to become that holy people. Verse number 5 through 7 lets us know. It is clear that Peter presumes that his readers have already exercised faith, and that these qualities are being added to their faith. These same virtues allow believers to participate in the divine nature and thus distinguish themselves as a holy people. In the epistle, James explained how these qualities add to faith and enable ones to become a friend of God. James chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. Verse 8. He mentioned a fruitful knowledge of Christ that will enable believers to display character effectively. This comes through maintaining a close relationship with Christ. Jesus calls that relationship abiding in him, according to John 15. If we abide in him, then he will abide in us. Glory be to God. When the qualities that verse 5 and 7 is talking about are present in the life of a believer, it betrays the fact that he forgot his true identity in Christ. Believers have been cleansed from past sins. We must not forget it. By persisting in sin, believers are blinded to their new identity as a holy people. When we are living the life of a holy people, we are set aside specifically for God's purposes. Glory to God. That's why the Bible also tells us that outside of holiness, no man can see God. That is a requirement of being a child of God. So when we think about being sure of our calling, are we sure, first of all, of who we are in Christ? Are we sure of what he has called us to? Is it that he's called us to salvation only? Or has he called us to something of a greater magnitude of doing a work down here in the earth realm for him? I want to encourage you all on today to get to know what the hope of your calling is. How are you going to get to know what God has called you to? First of all, by spending time with God in his word, studying to show yourselves approved as a workman that can rightfully divide the word of God. Spending time with God in prayer. How much time do you really spend with God just getting to know him and allowing him getting to know you? Or is it that we only pray and talk to God when we want something? How about just communicating with God just because he's God and asking him, what are you saying, God, concerning me? What exactly is that you need of me to do? When we are sure of our calling, we don't have to doubt. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be intimidated by someone else's gifting. We don't have to be jealous or envious of anyone else, because we know, because we are sure, that God have a purpose and a plan for each and every one of our lives. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11 and 12, it talks about how God has hope and a good future for each and every one of us. But we must spend that quality time getting to know exactly what it is that God has called us to. When we successfully display the qualities that I talked about earlier, then we are sure and we can go forward in the things of God with confidence and knowing that we are heirs with Christ. So if I wanted to sum this up on tonight, I will simply leave you with the fact to make one's calling and election sure is to live out the Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is to do more than simply pay lip service to Christ. Those who profess salvation but never grow in their walk with God will suffer a lack of assurance, always wondering if they are really saved or are they really doing what God has called them to do. Those who grow ever more like Christ will be sure of their calling and their election. The more time you spend with God, the more you will get to know him. The more you get to know him, the more you get to love him. The more you love him, the more you love yourself. I want to encourage you all that will listen to this podcast to do an evaluation right here. Ask yourself the question, am I sure of what God has called me to? And if your answer is no, then go back to God in prayer and ask him specifically to make his will known unto you. And as you ask him, he will be faithful and just to answer you right where you are. Glory to God. I want to leave you with that on tonight. I just want to say a quick prayer for you on tonight, that the Holy Spirit will minister to your heart, to your mind, and to your spirit, and that he will bring you into the fullness of knowing who you are and who he created you to be. Father, it is in the name of Jesus that we pray on tonight that someone's life will be touched, Father. I pray on tonight that someone will come into the revelation and knowledge of who they are in you and what you created them to be down here in the earth realm. Speak to their minds, God. Let their minds be on you that you can keep them in perfect peace. Father, I ask you on tonight that you would reveal yourself to them in a way that's going to blow their mind. Speak to them, Lord, and we will be so careful to give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all of the praise. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and glory to God. Thank you once again for chiming into the moment of deliverance. Please hashtag and share the word of God with someone on tonight that they too can become empowered. And it is my prayer that someone that will listen to this message will come to know exactly what it is that God has called them to. Not only know, but begin to walk in it. Glory to God. Once again, this is your founder, Apostle Dr. Myrtle Johnson, coming to you by way of podcast. If you are in the Mechanicsville area, please stop by and share with us as the Word of God comes forth every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. Our overseer, once again, is Apostle Keith Johnson. We are located at 6701 Cole Harbor Road in Mechanicsville, Virginia. It is our prayer that you will be empowered, that you will be healed, that you will be delivered, and that you will be restored. It's in Jesus' name. Until next time, join us right back here on Tuesday nights and Thursday nights. Until next time, be blessed.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to the moment of deliverance. Glory to God. This is your host and founder, Apostle Dr. Myrtle Johnson, coming to you by way of Anchor Podcast. Glory to God. Thank you for joining in on tonight, whether you are driving down the road in your vehicle, whether you are at home with your feet propped up, or whether you may be listening to this recording at another time. Thank you for joining in. I am the overseer and founder of Free in Christ International Women's Fellowship, a fellowship that is geared towards helping hurting women heal and become whole. Our overseer and founder is Apostle Keith Johnson. We are also the overseers of Grace and Mercy Outreach Ministries that is located at 6701 Cole Harbor Road in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Join us on any Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. for a power-filled moment of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. I want to talk to you on tonight about being sure of your calling. Be sure of your calling. What does Peter mean when he tells us to make our calling and election sure in the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 10? It says, "Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." The clear command here is to make your calling and your election sure. Or as the Bible puts it, make every effort to confirm your calling and your election. Now, a believer's calling is God's drawing him to salvation. Peter alludes to this calling earlier in the same chapter when he speaks of God who called us by his glory and his goodness in 2 Peter 1 and 3. A believer's election is God's selection of him to be saved from before time began. The doctrine of election or predestination is taught elsewhere in the Bible also. In the book of Romans, chapter number 8, verse 29 and 30, in Ephesians 1 and 5, in verse number 11, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 4, and 2 Timothy 2 and 10. God is the only one who calls and who elects us. So the believer's calling and election are already sure from God's point of view. Therefore, the command for believers to diligently make their calling and election sure must refer to the believer's point of view. God wants us to have assurance of our salvation, first of all. And the best way to do that is to be pursuing godly virtues and actively growing in the Christian life. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7 lists godly qualities that believers should add to their faith: goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. These qualities are the things that the verse number 10 is talking about. And the reader is urged thereby to make your calling and your election sure. In doing these things, one will never stumble, and it is promised a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of God. In verse number 11. On the surface, 2 Peter 1 seems to affirm that one's salvation depending on having the qualities that are listed in verse number 5 through 7. On closer inspection, however, it becomes apparent that Peter is addressing those who already have faith, which he lists as the first and foundational quality. Also, Peter presumes that some of those who did not demonstrate these qualities had in fact been saved, for whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind.
forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. 2 Peter 1 and 9. So being cleansed from past sin does not automatically mean that a person will grow in goodness, knowledge, but if he doesn't possess these qualities in increasing measure, he's spiritually myopic and forgetful of God's grace. Let's examine the command to make your calling and election sure within the context of what Peter said before that. Verse 1 and 3 says, the reader's godly life is somehow being threatened by their circumstances, and we know from Peter's previous epistle that they have been suffering. 1 Peter 1 and 6. The apostle is therefore providing reassurance that they all have resources they need to preserve within their knowledge of God, the one who called them. Verse 4, Peter adds that God's glory and goodness entail very great and precious promises through which his readers may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. God's goal is to produce a holy people for himself. Believers should have the same goal, to become that holy people. Verse number 5 through 7 lets us know. It is clear that Peter presumes that his readers have already exercised faith, and that these qualities are being added to their faith. These same virtues allow believers to participate in the divine nature and thus distinguish themselves as a holy people. In the epistle, James explained how these qualities add to faith and enable ones to become a friend of God. James chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. Verse 8, he mentioned a fruitful knowledge of Christ that will enable believers to display character effectively. This comes through maintaining a close relationship with Christ. Jesus calls that relationship abiding in him, according to John 15. If we abide in him, then he will abide in us. Glory be to God. When the qualities that verse 5 and 7 is talking about are present in the life of a believer, it betrays the fact that he forgot his true identity in Christ. Believers have been cleansed from past sins. We must not forget it. By persisting in sin, believers are blinded to their new identity as a holy people. When we are living the life of a holy people, we are set aside specifically for God's purposes. Glory to God. That's why the Bible also tells us that outside of holiness, no man can see God. That is a requirement of being a child of God. So when we think about being sure of our calling, are we sure, first of all, of who we are in Christ? Are we sure of what he has called us to? Is it that he's called us to salvation only? Or has he called us to something of a greater magnitude of doing a work down here in the earth realm for him? I want to encourage you all on today to get to know what the hope of your calling is. How are you going to get to know what God has called you to? First of all, by spending time with God in his word, studying to show yourselves approved as a workman that can rightfully divide the word of God. Spending time with God in prayer. How much time do you really spend with God just getting to know him and allowing him getting to know you? Or is it that we only pray and talk to God when we want something? How about just communicating with God just because he's God and asking him, what are you saying, God, concerning me? What exactly is that you need of me to do? When we are sure of our calling, we don't have to doubt. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be intimidated by someone else's gifting. We don't have to be jealous or envious of anyone else, because we know, because we are sure, that God have a purpose and a plan for each and every one of our lives. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11 and 12, it talks about how God has hope and a good future for each and every one of us. But we must spend that quality time getting to know exactly what it is that God has called us to. When we successfully display the qualities that I talked about earlier, then we are sure and we can go forward in the things of God with confidence and knowing that we are heirs with Christ. So if I wanted to sum this up on tonight, I would simply leave you with the fact to make one's calling and election sure is to live out the Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is to do more than simply pay lip service to Christ. Those who profess salvation but never grow in their walk with God will suffer a lack of assurance, always wondering if they are really saved or are they really doing what God has called them to do. Those who grow ever more like Christ will be sure of their calling and their election. The more time you spend with God, the more you will get to know Him. The more you get to know Him, the more you get to love Him. The more you love Him, the more you love yourself. I want to encourage you all that will listen to this podcast to do an evaluation right here. Ask yourself the question, am I sure of what God has called me to? And if your answer is no, then go back to God in prayer and ask Him specifically to make His will known unto you. And as you ask Him, He will be faithful and just to answer you right where you are. Glory to God. I want to leave you with that on tonight. I just want to say a quick prayer for you on tonight, that the Holy Spirit will minister to your heart, to your mind, and to your spirit, and that He will bring you into the fullness of knowing who you are and who He created you to be. Father, it is in the name of Jesus that we pray on tonight that someone's life will be touched, Father. I pray on tonight that someone will come into the revelation and knowledge of who they are in You and what You created them to be down here in the earth realm. Speak to their minds, God. Let their minds be on You that You can keep them in perfect peace. Father, I ask You on tonight that You would reveal Yourself to them in a way that's going to blow their mind. Speak to them, Lord, and we will be so careful to give Your name all the glory, all the honor, and all of the praise. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and glory to God. Thank you once again for chiming into the moment of deliverance. Please hashtag and share the word of God with someone on tonight that they too can become empowered. And it is my prayer that someone that will listen to this message will come to know exactly what it is that God has called them to. Not only know, but begin to walk in it. Glory to God. Once again, this is your founder, Apostle Dr. Myrtle Johnson, coming to you by way of podcast. If you are in the Mechanicsville area, please stop by and share with us as the Word of God comes forth every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. Our overseer, once again, is Apostle Keith Johnson. We are located at 6701 Cole Harbor Road in Mechanicsville, Virginia. It is our prayer that you will be empowered, that you will be healed, that you will be delivered, and that you will be restored. It's in Jesus' name. Until next time, join us right back here on Tuesday nights and Thursday nights. Until next time, be blessed.